Hey there, I'm your host Alexis Newland and you're listening to The Brave Podcast. I am so happy you're tuning in today. Each week, a friend and I get together and talk about what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Brave Podcast. So happy to have you tune in, and it is episode 26. Woohoo! We have done 26 episodes together. I am so excited that you guys have hung in and tuned in for this long. So I'm going to do a little giveaway. And how it's going to work is I want you to message me either via email, Instagram, Facebook, your favorite episode. The person who answers first will get a prize from me. So let me know what your favorite episode is. Oh, and why. All right. This week's guest is our final time with Marnie. Marnie is going to come today and we're going to talk about purpose and the importance of being loved and a myriad of other things. So I believe you'll absolutely love our episode. It has been great sitting down with Marnie. It's seriously like sitting down with your mom and having a heart-to-heart. I think you guys will really enjoy our conversation. I also will leave all ways to get a hold of Marnie in the show notes. So if you want to follow her, get her book, and then kind of follow her journey and find out more about what she's doing, I will list everything in the show notes. All right. So without further ado, here is my episode part 3 with Marnie Spinsla.
You ready to get cracking?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. So I have Marnie back with us for a third time, and we're going to talk about a few topics with you guys that we think that you'll really enjoy. We're going to talk about your purpose, knowing that you're loved, understanding what dreams God may have for you in your life. And so Marnie and I are going to chat about that a little bit. So let's kind of go into purpose.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I expect all of us believe this, but I believe really passionately that God, the Creator, created us in His image because He wants us to create.
Yeah.
He wants us to do what He did. And in the New Testament, it even says, "The greater things than I've done, you will do." That was Jesus talking. Greater things than Jesus did. And I've always assumed that that meant, you know, the big stuff, the healing and the turning water into wine and bringing dead back to life. But I think it's more than that. I think it's just living at a level of complete trust in God, complete trust that He's got a plan and that He's walking us through it right now, today. And one of the things that He wants for us is to find joy, to find what gives us joy, to do the things that give us life.
Yeah.
Because we're created in His image and He's the Creator. So I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yes, that makes complete sense. Yeah. And joy is a big thing. Like, I know for myself, like, sometimes when I first started my walk, I felt like Christianity should be a serious thing. And I wasn't sure how, because I'm pretty, my friends would say I'm pretty like lighthearted and jovial. Like I'm not very serious very often. I'm always joking around. And so when I first started like my walk, I did not understand how joy could fit into a Christian walk. Yeah. And tried to put myself in a box, like, Christians are calm and collected and serious and all. And it's not that way. No, it just doesn't work that way.
No, I don't think that's been a picture that God ever had.
Mm-mm.
I think the church has had it.
Yeah.
Because we like things to be nice and orderly. And sometimes the ones who are in charge like it orderly the most. It's like, you know, in a classroom when the kids are going wild, guess who wants order in the class? The leader, the teacher. Kids don't care. So quite often that can kind of come across as it's not fun. Mm-hmm. It's serious. This is intense. You need to take things seriously. Funerals are sad. You know, learning is hard. And I don't think it's necessarily taught as much as kind of picked up by each other. We kind of do it to each other, kind of lay it on each other that it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I've had people say to me, I don't know that faith is supposed to be fun. Well, you know what? I think it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's supposed to be fun. In fact, that's what drew me to the Lord in the first place, was an awareness that I was not having fun. Life was going really sideways for me. And I felt like God was saying, if you want to have any fun, you need to start listening to some of the stuff that I have for you, because I got way more for you than you could ever imagine. And I'm sure he was saying it was fun. I'm sure he used that word, actually.
Yes. That is, I so relate to that, because I kind of found myself putting myself in a box. Like, I had to be doing certain things. Like, I looked at, like, I'm very much a routine person. So, like, I have my routines. If my routines get messed up in a way, I struggle a little.
Yeah.
And so, like, I would do that in my, like, with my walk. And I still do to this day. Like, I still have to work on, like, being a little bit more flexible. So, basically, I put myself, like, well, I had to do this much reading, and I had to do this, and I had to, like, listen to this type of things, and this type of thing. And I just totally, like, just pared down everything to, like, look at what I thought would be what a Christian's supposed to look like. And so, one of my friends told me, actually, she was like, Alexis, I think you're putting yourself in bondage. And I was like, ooh, okay. Because she goes, are you having fun doing any of this? I'm like, no. She's like, it's okay to read a book that isn't a Christian book. And it's okay to, like, watch a fun show. She goes, you shouldn't let it consume all your time. But she's like, yeah, it's okay to put those little things in. Or to, like, go to the beach for the day. Or go do these things. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because I had really was, like, on this regimented schedule that I had placed for myself in these rules.
Yeah.
And there was no joy in it at all.
No, right. I have done that myself. I've watched lots of people do it. One of the things that I've observed in my experiences with people running success teams. So I used to run success teams, mm-hmm. and it was helping people to find the thing that gives them joy and start doing it. And I would sometimes go around the circle and say, you know, with a group of six people or so, and say, so what are your dreams? What things would you, or one thing even, that you would love to be doing that you're not doing? Oh, well, I don't know, nothing really. Yeah, there is something. Because God has put a desire in your heart, so what is it? Let's talk about that. And they, well, I wanted to draw, but, you know, but you could tell that it wasn't there. And then they would say, you know, I've always wanted to sing in a choir, or I've always wanted to, whatever the thing is. And their eyes light up, and they shine with a great sense of excitement just talking about it. That's how you know what's in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing something that you are called to do, that you're supposed to be doing, you can feel your heartbeat faster. You know that you're showing excitement. And even if you don't know, the people around you will know. And they will watch you light up while you talk about the thing.
Yeah.
So when I get excited, and one of the things that gets me excited is talking about my book and about relationships. And I know that my face lights up when I'm talking about it. Now talk to me about my taxes.
No,
there's no light there.
No light at all.
But I have met people who do light up when they're talking about taxes, because it's their thing.
They get so excited. I'm like, that's great for you.
Yes, and making all the numbers work and collecting all the details. So I've been looking for somebody who took whose face lights up when they talk about technology. So, you know, so that I can promote my book, I've had to learn a bunch of technology. I've learned to learn a convert kit for sending out, and how do you do podcasts and all of the stuff that, how do you post on Facebook, all that stuff. I've had to learn it, but there's no life in it for me. And recently I met a girl who does get excited when she talks about that tech stuff.
Yeah.
We're a match made in heaven, for crying out loud. It's so exciting. She lives in Belgium and I live in Victoria, and we share ideas and dreams, and I'm excited about what I want to do. She's excited about doing for me what she wants to do, right? So we can work together. And I think that that's what we're looking for, is that thing that makes your face shine, your eyes light up when you talk about it.
I don't know, when it comes to talking about dreams, sometimes there's fear in pursuing it, like fear of failure. Fear of, like, is this really from the Lord? All these different things that, like, will cross your mind when there's a dream that you have, like a big dream.
Absolutely. And the main thing that happens is that when that fear hits, and by the way, it hits everybody, when the fear hits, many of us are inclined to give up. Oh, man, I guess I shouldn't do that. I can't do that. I can't afford to do that. I really want to go and run a horse ranch in Alberta. or you know, go and live on the beach in California or whatever the dream is. Mm-hmm. But I can't do that. I could never afford. I'd have to quit my job. What would I do about all of the negatives come to the surface? That's normal. So then you start taking a look at the negatives, and that's what my success team was all about. And taking a look at the negatives and the what we call obstacles, and what are they? And is it really an obstacle? Maybe it's not. Maybe there is a way around it if you're willing to set it aside for a minute, or ask other people or whatever. I mean, they're always, that's another whole topic, the success teams, but and how you get past the obstacles. But you're absolutely right. The obstacles are first.
Yeah.
And you have to work past that.
You really do. And it's so fun. So like when I was going to start this, and this was not my dream to be a podcaster, like I'm a writer and being a writer, I like to be behind the scenes. So like this definitely puts you out there up front and center. And so this was not my dream, but this was God's dream for me. And so I realized when there is a dream that God has for you, he will provide ways to make it happen. So like
that,
it just blows my mind. So I remember like, I heard about it, like God told me, like, I want you to do this. And I was like, no, that's okay. And he's like, okay. He goes, I'm just giving you a heads up. This will happen, but I'm just giving you warning. And so I'm like, okay. So I kind of prepared myself and I'm like, well, how can I do it? I don't have the equipment. I don't have the training. I don't have any of these things. And like God provided, like I had a friend who was like, God said, I'm supposed to help support your podcast. So she bought me all my equipment. And then just the other day, like my family members sent me more equipment to make my sound better. And just like God was like, this is a dream I have for you.
Yeah.
I will provide. And he definitely has. And he keeps doing it. And I've learned that it's a good way to like trust him. Like sometimes dreams, we like, I love this now. I love doing this. But it's,
I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying
it? I love it. It's so fun. I would have never met you or any of the other people had I not like said yes to this, said yes to God. Because I just keep thinking about that. Like, my life could be completely different if I had said no and been, like stubborn and, like, kind of, like, said no to doing this. But, man, he has provided, and he's helped me find an unrealized dream that I didn't even know I had.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens that way, and sometimes you have to go for it. But either way, it's exciting.
It is, yeah.
It's exciting, yeah. You have to take this step of obedience, or you have to just start walking into something that you really want to do and just start walking and see what happens. And as you say, then God does all the rest of it.
He really does. And those taking those faith steps can be really scary. Really
so scary. So
scary.
I agonized over this. I'm doing a Flourish Cafe, and it's just a little Zoom meeting, and I've set it up. I decided to put it out to five or six people, so I put it on my Facebook once, and a couple of people shared it, and I got a few people who responded, and it ended up, my first one was last night, and it ended up being my three daughters and one of my daughter's friends, so there were just four of them, and I was delighted because I was terrified. Just starting with four suited me just fine.
Yeah.
But so there was a lot of fear involved, but I feel so passionate about this. I want to share about living a bigger life and being exciting and excited about your life, even when things are tough, even when you're this Flourish Cafe, as I'm calling it, is kind of reaching out to moms who are stuck at home with their kids and their relationship problems and interaction issues with their spouse or with their kids or whatever, and just to give them a chance to talk and give them some suggestions of things, ways of dealing with your own heart, dealing with the situation, not changing other people, but dealing with your own heart so that you can be the blessing in the house and then be blessed.
Definitely.
That's the short version. What is that doing?
Are you going to do more?
Yeah, so I've got six sessions planned. And once that's done, I needed to get the tech stuff worked out, and I'm doing it on Zoom. So last night I signed up for a pro Zoom.
Oh, nice.
So I don't get shut off after 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Which, that's what happened last night.
Oh, they are. Because before they've been kind of lax. Like I've had a couple of Zoom meetings. They're like, Zoom has gifted you unlimited time. But they're being a little more strict now.
That. I had two meetings and I thought, oh, I'm going to get a third out of it. This is going to be great. But no, fortunately, I warned my buddies and had to said, I'm going to send you another link as soon as this, if this shuts off, I'll send you another link. So I had to scramble around in the middle. And anyway, so for me, it's always the tech stuff that sitting in front of talking to people is one thing. And all that always gets my heart racing. And then the tech stuff, getting the Zoom meeting or getting the whatever it is that tech we're going to use. And but so I have to struggle with that stuff, same as everybody else does. But once I get there, I know I'm in the right place when I still feel excited. Definitely. And ready to go. Once I get this going, I hope to run other courses on other things. I hope to be running some success teams, and I hope to run more of these things for parents, for moms. I'm not sure who else yet. We'll see.
It'd be cool to see how this kind of flourishes in the next year, like how this grows.
Exactly. I just need to give one quick before we go any further, because I'm talking about success teams. I signed up to be a success team leader with Barbara Sher, who is a woman from New York.
Okay.
Wonderful. And who wrote a whole bunch of books and teaches on how to get what you really want, even if you don't know what it is. That's the name of one of her books.
Hmm.
I got a note this week saying she passed away last Sunday. She was 84. And I feel so kind of sad. For me, she was a mentor that I never met. I've read most of her books and I ran some of her success teams, and she changed my life in ways that not too many people outside the church have.
Yeah.
And her teaching was just profound for me, profoundly life-changing. And so that's why I want to start success teams again, because they were very, very exciting to watch people step into something they'd always wanted to do but were scared to try.
Okay. And can you go over success teams one more time? Like what they are, what they look like?
Yeah. So there are about 6 to 8 people in the group. I've never done it online. I've always done it live. Book a place or whatever. Invite people to come. And each person has time to talk about what their dream is. And if they don't have a dream, there's a structure to help them find their dream. And then, and we're going to go through, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about that in
definitely.
A sec. But then, and it's all timed. You're there for 2 full hours, and you stick right to the time. I have a timer, and I set my timer. You got 2 minutes. Tell me what your dream is, and then tell me your obstacles. And then you go around the circle, and each person shares their dreams and their obstacles, and then each person in the circle throws ideas at the obstacles. And so I want to take guitar lessons, but I'm terrified. I've never touched a guitar in my life. Okay, well, somebody in the room will say, oh, my brother teaches guitar lessons. And yeah, but I don't have a guitar. Another obstacle is I don't have a guitar and I can't afford one. Well, I know where you can get one. There's one hanging in my living room that nobody ever uses. You can, like in the room, you solve each other's problems.
I just heard that.
It's very exciting. I heard Barbara Sher talking yesterday on one of her videos about how somebody wanted to dance with, what's his name from Dirty Dancing?
Patrick Swayze?
Patrick Swayze. And that was her dream. My dream is to dance with Patrick Swayze. And Barbara Sher was doing this in a big crowd. And somebody at the back of the audience stood up and said, that's funny because I am meeting with his mother at such and such a place tonight or tomorrow night, and Patrick Swayze will be there. If you want to come, you can dance with him.
Whoa. Right.
So she got to dance with Patrick Swayze.
That's amazing. So it sounds like you basically, whatever obstacles you have, kind of going to the people in your community to solve them or to help solve them. I like that idea.
It's so exciting. I watched my daughter plan a trip across Canada with no money, no car, and nobody to go with. And so in the success team, we came up with some ideas of how she could do it. And she ended up going for a month. She bought a 30-day bus pass. She went by herself. And she stopped in youth hostels. She connected with various friends and friends of friends and family members of friends, and stayed at all kinds of different homes all the way across the country, went all the way to the East Coast, stayed in youth hostels and met all kinds of people, talked to interesting people, saw all the way out to Prince Edward Island and New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, came all the way back. It was a life-changing event for her.
That is
no
amazing.
No money, no friend, and no car.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's fun. It's just fun imagining what's possible. And that's where the possibility thinking comes in. It is possible. No matter what your dream is, it is possible. Don't give up.
Yeah. And that's the key, because I think that's, like you said, like we said earlier, like that the obstacles will stop you, and if you just get stuck there, you'll never pursue what God has for you.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't let the obstacles stop you.
Yeah.
That's it.
So you're going to go into more detail about the success team. There was something you wanted to talk about.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So possibility thinking. So part of the success team thing is part of the Barbara thing that I learned from Barbara Scher was to figure out what it is you want to do. What is the thing? Now, I'm calling it God's purpose. She didn't call it that, but it doesn't matter. I don't care what you call it. It's the thing that you want to do. So I was challenged in one of her books to write a list of things, 100 things that you want to do, be, or have in your life.
Okay.
And you just sit down by yourself and take an hour or half an hour, whatever, and write a list of 100 things. Now, if you can't get to 100, don't worry. Start with 10. Doesn't matter. 20. Doesn't matter. It's not about the number. It's about opening your mind and letting all that stuff be put down on a piece of paper. Write them all down. There are no bad ideas. You're not allowed to assess them. You're not allowed to write, that's a dumb idea. I'm not writing that. Or that's impossible. I could never afford that, so I'm not putting that on. No, none of that applies. You have endless amounts of money, endless amounts of time. Everything is possible, and you make your list. And when you've created your list, then you sit down and start taking a look at it. And the first thing to do is pick one. You are going to do them all. The goal is before you die, you're going to do them all. Huh. Like the bucket list.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so your list could go from, I want to take guitar lessons, right through to, I want to own a zoo. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the thing is, you know.
Yeah.
I want to work with chimpanzees. I want to go and help with elephants. I want to travel to every continent in the world. Doesn't matter how big the dream is. In fact, the bigger, the better. And then with a success team, you sit down and together you make a list of which thing you're going to do, and then make a list of what are your obstacles. What's the thing that I just really want badly right now? And it might be the biggest thing, it might be the smallest thing, doesn't matter. Pick one thing that you really want right now, and then start working towards that. If you can get with a group who will do it with you, that's the best.
Okay.
I highly recommend check out Barbara Scher. Go to Barbara Scher's success teams and look it up. Or keep in touch with me, and I'll let you know when I launch my first success team.
Okay.
Obviously, we're doing it on Zoom.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can't do it in personal right now. But and then you go through what are the obstacles, and you deal with the obstacles.
Yeah.
And you one at a time, and you deal with them not by overcoming them or pushing through. None of that. You just put it out on the table. And you receive ideas from people. And sometimes the ideas will spark something else. Oh, you know what? That's a good idea. No, I wouldn't do that, but I could do that.
Hmm.
So what the other person says may not be the thing that you do, but it may spark something in somebody else or in you that helps you to take the next step, whatever the next step is. No item is too big. No idea is too crazy.
That is fun. I really like that. Because sometimes having those big, crazy ideas you want to do, you're like, oh, no, it's too big, it's too crazy. But it's kind of cool to be like, it doesn't matter if it's too big or too crazy. If you want to do it, you can do it.
Exactly. So I taught in Hazleton, which is up in northern BC for a couple of years, and in the Terrace School District. And while I was up there, I got the dream of starting a school. I wanted to start a school. I don't know why. I believe it was something that God planted in me, but I just realized that I wanted freedom to teach kids the way I wanted to teach kids.
Yeah.
And school system, you do what they tell you to do because they pay you big bucks, right?
Yep.
And it's a job. I'm being paid as a teacher. It's a pretty good job. And good benefits and good pension and all that stuff. So there's nothing wrong with that. But for me, it wasn't enough. I wanted to be able to imagine and create and do it my way. And so I came back to Victoria and finished my degree in education and started imagining what a school might look like. And before, so I graduated in April, and I started my first school the following September. So from say January, February until September, okay. I was working towards starting my school. And so I arranged for some of my courses to match what I needed to do to start a school. I talked to everybody. I made phone calls all day, every day during the summer. Went to the newspaper, had my dream announced in the newspaper. Oh. The first day I saw it, I was, what have I done? Here's a picture of me, and this person is starting a school in September. Sign up your kids. And I had friends say to me, so what happens if this doesn't go? Are you going to apply for another job? And I said, there is no plan B. I am starting a school in September.
Wow.
I didn't know such thing. I didn't know the first thing about it. But I'd make a phone call, and somebody would say, oh, you should talk to so-and-so. So-and-so would give you, and then I'd hang up, and I got books, textbooks, I got desks given to me. I found a location that was perfect, and all of it through talking to people and walking through the obstacles, all of it. And I started in September with 10 kids. I had 10 little kids that were in grades 1 to 7, and I ran it myself. And the first person I hired was somebody to help me with the finances and the the tax stuff.
Yeah.
For work and to answer the phone occasionally. And I taught these 10 kids in grades 1 to 7 all by myself, and I had so much fun. Oh my gosh, it was fun.
Wow.
And the fun thing is that little school is still going. They now have about 100 kids.
Wow.
And they go grades 1 to 12. And since then, I've started another school, which is also running 130 kids or so, K to 12. Don't tell me something's too big to do. You can do it. If you really want to do it, you do it.
Love that. Absolutely.
Isn't that
exciting? Yeah.
So somebody once told me that I believe it's Proverbs that says he will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody once told me that means the desires in your heart are from God. So any desire you have, if it's legal, if it's honest, if it's ethical, if there's nothing, like, I'm not talking about selling drugs. I'm not talking about doing something that wouldn't be in God's plan. But if it satisfies what you believe God wants and you have a real peace about doing it, then for heaven's sakes, go do it. Don't let the obstacle stop you. Don't let the fear stop you. Go get them. That's what you're here for. Go do it. So that's my advice for tonight.
I like that so much.
The most fun people to be around are people who are doing something.
Yeah.
Is that the truth?
It is. It really, really is. And what kind of set me to, like, pursue my own dreams is I work at a job that I love very much. And I was like, okay, I'm helping this dream be built of someone else. I'm like, what about my dreams? I'm like, if I don't pursue my dreams, like, they're just going to, like, stay in my head. I have to, like, go at them and get them. And, like, God was like, ding, ding, ding. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Indeed. I think that you're absolutely on the right track there. You just got to keep doing it. You got to start. The saddest thing for me is when I meet somebody who's older, like my age or older, and they say, you know, I always wanted to be a teacher, or I always wanted to be a nurse, but I didn't think I was smart enough, or I didn't think I was capable, or my mom persuaded me not to. Or whatever reason. I think that's very, very sad. And so what I will still say now is you're not too old. You might be too old to be a teacher, but maybe you should be teaching Sunday school.
Yeah.
You might be too old to go and be a nurse, but maybe you could go help in the hospital in some way. Go comfort children in a children's ward or hold babies or, mm-hmm. you know, there's always something. It's not too late to get the part of it that's what you were created to do.
Exactly.
And because it may not be the whole thing. Like, I love the idea of dancing. I just love dancing, but I don't want to perform. I'm kind of a performer in some ways, but I don't want to perform on dancing on a stage.
Yeah.
But I bought some videos and I dance around my living room. And the other day I was thinking, this is what I wanted. This is exactly what I wanted. I wanted somebody to teach me how to dance. I don't want to be on a stage. I just want to dance.
Yeah.
And I love it. So it's there's a grain of something in what you want to do. Like, maybe the thing is you always wanted to be an astronaut and it's too late. Like, obviously you're not going to be an astronaut. But is there something in there? What is the nugget? Or what are the two or three nuggets that would really satisfy you. Maybe it's going and spending some time at an observatory, or maybe it's meeting with scientists who are doing that kind of stuff. I don't know. I'm just throwing out there are, that's why I say there are no dumb ideas, because part of it may be the very thing that you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. It just gives you like a little glimmer of what it's supposed to be. And then the big picture kind of comes in, like discovering what it is. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. And it may be here's another example. I want to be a famous movie star. Okay, so what is it about being a famous movie star that would get your heart racing? You know, is it spending hours and hours and hours learning a part and being filmed in a site someplace around the world? Is that really it? Or is it the famous part? Is there a little piece of it that would actually make a difference? Maybe it's being on a stage in a local theater. Maybe that would be just totally satisfy what you thought was being a famous movie star. Maybe it's not the fame you want at all. Maybe it's just the idea of acting, and the only thing you could think of was to be a movie star, yeah. You know? But being a movie star is probably not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want that.
Yeah.
But you know, some people will go to great lengths to do that, and they should.
Yes.
Because that's what they're created for, you know? I'm just saying that your dream might be enormous, but maybe you don't need the whole dream.
Mm-hmm.
At 70, the idea of me serving in a ballet company is probably not realistic, but maybe that's not really what I want at all. As I say, what I want is to dance in my living room with some lessons, you know, with this video that she's teaching me. Or to join a folk dance group or something like that. Yeah, that would satisfy me too, probably.
All right. So you want to wrap up with love and like how that we know that God loves us and how that affects our walk?
It's the biggest thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the beginning, the middle, and the end of walking with God. So my very strongest feeling now in this age that I have reached is that we were created by a God who wanted to be in relationship. The Bible says, let us make man in our image. And the reason he wanted us to be made in his image was that he could be with us, talk to us. He loves us, or he wouldn't have bothered. When I make a meal, I love my meal. I'm thrilled with my meal. I may not be totally happy with eating it, mm-hmm. but it's an act of love to make it. How much more was God's act of love to make me, to make you,
yeah,
to make of us. His love is so, so, so big that he said, I just want to be in relationship with you, and I'm going to do it this way, and then we walk away and we cause problems. And the whole Old Testament is full of stories of God's people. I love you so much. Come on, I want to show you this.
Yeah.
And they got it, and then they would forget and walk away. And Christians in general, including me, have looked at those Old Testament stories and thought, why didn't they get it? Why do they keep walking away? Well, the truth is,
we do too. Yeah.
We all do. We all screw up. I screw up. I am the one that is at fault. Not they, but me.
Yeah.
I am the one who messes up every day. Every day I've missed his best for me. And I heard someplace that it's not sin, is just missing the mark.
Yeah.
And you know how when you see an angle, a little teeny tiny angle here can be a huge distance when you're way out there, right?
Yeah.
So miss the mark by a tiny bit. That's not what God wants. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to be in relationship. He wants to love you, and he wants to show you how much he loves you. And so in the process of the world, going up and down and walking with God and walking away and messing up, he said, you know what? We need to send me. I need to go into this world.
Hmm.
So he sent himself, and Jesus came into the world, and he said, this is what I want it to look like. This is how I want you to do it. I want you to reach out in love. I don't want you judging and criticizing.
Yeah.
I don't want you making decisions about how things should be done in somebody else's house or somebody else's life. I just want you to love them and bless them the way I love and bless you.
Mm-hmm.
And God's grace is so much bigger than we could imagine. And our grace is minuscule to non-existent sometimes.
Yeah.
My grace goes real thin when I feel somebody has crossed me.
Yeah.
You know, he's offended me. And he might have offended me 20 years ago and I can still feel angry. Is that God's grace?
Mm-mm.
No. No. God forgives. I need to forgive. God has grace for people's screw-ups. I need to have grace for people's screw-ups. He loved me so much that he sent Jesus. And then when Jesus went back to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit and said, here you go. Yeah. I got something who will live in you, with you, through you. Go and be amazing. Go and live the way you're supposed to live. And don't do it in criticism. Mm-hmm. Don't do it in judgment. Don't take offense. Just live your life and live it big the way I created you to live it.
Exactly. And I know sometimes I've heard people have told me who don't know God, they're like, well, I've sinned. My sin is too big for God to love me. And what was I reading? I've been reading David in 2 Samuel where he, with David and Bathsheba, and reading that story and like reading what David did and kind of understanding the gravity of what David did.
Yeah.
One person almost pointed out that it could have been like rape, what he did with Bathsheba.
Yes.
And I was
yes.
like, oh, I've never seen it in that light. And then yes. like murder. And like, if David did that and God still was like, I'm not going to kill you for this sin and still love you anyway, then like, it shows you, like, I was just blown away. I'm like, God, David did that. That was a really dark sin, but he calls him a man after his own heart. Like, he still That's loved right. David. So I'm like, if David can do those things and God still loves him, it doesn't, that means for me, no matter what I do, God loves me anyway.
Yes. And the other part of it is he's not surprised.
Mm-mm.
He's surprised by our screw ups. He's not surprised by our sin. He knows that we sin.
Mm-hmm.
He made us. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows you've done it already, whatever it is, whatever terrible thing you've done. It's not about what you do or don't do. That's not the sin that bothers him. The sin that bothers him is when I say, I'm not doing what you say. Mm-hmm. I believe you're there, but I'm not doing what you say. I refuse to walk with you. That's more sin than murder.
Yeah. That's worse.
Or rape.
Yeah.
It is worse. In God's eyes, it's worse because he's saying, here, I've done everything for you. I love you so much. How much, you're not a mom, but how much does a mom love their kid? You know mm-hmm. how much your mom loves you.
Yeah.
You maybe have an idea of how much your mom loves you. But the love that a mother or father has for their kid is unlike any other love that is in the world, as far as I'm concerned. I loved my husband, and I know he loved me, but it wasn't anything like the way my mom loved me and the way I love my kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of love. It's that sacrificial. You know how they say in a drought or something where there's no food, a mom will feed her kids before she eats.
Yeah.
Now, that's the kind of love that God has.
Exactly.
So if my kid does something so terrible that it shakes me to my boots, if I can't forgive her, then what am I saying about God?
Yeah.
And obviously, I will forgive her. I mean, my kids have never done anything that I couldn't forgive them for, because I was aware from before they were born how much I was forgiven. And the stuff that I did before I came to know the Lord was right out there. You know, I mean, I'm like everybody else. I did all the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when I received God's forgiveness, it was so big for me that I knew that if I was, even as a fairly new Christian, I remember thinking, if I hold unforgiveness, it's like saying, God, you forgave me, but I'm not going to forgive them. There's a Bible story about that, too, one of the parables that Jesus told.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
I just forgave you this small amount, and now I'm going to go and demand the big amount from somebody
yes.
else.
And that is not okay.
It's not okay.
Yeah.
And the one that was forgiven the small amount didn't get it. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't remember how the story goes. I can't tell it right now, but you know the story.
Yes. Yeah.
The one who's forgiven much is the one who really appreciates the love of God.
Yeah.
And the truth is, we've all been forgiven much. Because the Bible says, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When you imagine that I could be living in the glory of God and I choose to feel sorry for myself or I choose to criticize somebody, or I choose to hold unforgiveness and never, ever forgive that person. I could never forgive her. She said this, and I will never forgive her. I am falling so far short of the glory of God.
Yeah. You really are. It immediately kind of separates you from him.
Yes, it does. Yeah. You cannot be in close relationship and say, I am a Christian and I love God, and then turn around and show the other side of yourself to another person. Mm-hmm. What you show to God is the same, should be the same. And when you're forgiven big, when you've done something terrible, you got that sin your friend was talking about, when you've done something terrible, you are the one that needs to be out there talking about how much God loves you.
Yeah.
Because he does. He loves you in the midst of all of that. And all you got to do is say, oh, God, I am so sorry. My mom used to say, keep short accounts with the Lord. Keep short accounts. Apologize every night if you have to.
Yeah.
Not work if you have to.
Yeah.
If you're working through something, you know, I've got road rage. I need to deal with my road rage. Every time it comes to my attention, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I wasn't going to do that. And then it happens again. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Or for me, it wasn't road rage. It was reacting to my husband. And he would tell me something and I would react to something else he had said a few days ago. And now I'm yelling at him because of something he said to me a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with what he's saying right now. Right. And so then I'm not walking in the way God created me to walk. Mm-hmm. I'm not walking in the grace that he put in me through his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Getting into complicated stuff here, but
it's good stuff.
It's simple too.
It is.
It's not an easy thing to do, and it takes a lifetime to learn.
Yes. It's always learning.
I'll still be learning it when I'm 101, like my mom.
So, Marnie, what are you loving right now in your life? I know it's kind of a weird question with this virus going on, but what are you loving right now in your life?
You know, it's a funny thing, but I love that I'm just here by myself a lot of the time. Because I keep myself busy. I'm very social, and I've got a lot of friends, and I have a lot of activities that ordinarily go on during the week. And I love those activities. I do, and I enjoy the people that I'm with. But I have to say that I will miss this long time of introspection, this time of sitting with God for an hour every morning, this time of sitting in here in my pajamas for another hour if I want to and watch my prime minister on TV, and then getting up and doing some laundry and doing some writing and whatever I feel like doing. I still spend a bit of time with my daughters who live not too far from here, and our premier in BC is saying you can have one house where you interact with one household in this sort of easing up, mm-hmm. right, the virus timing. Pick one household and interact with that one household. And even so, keep your distance and all that. So most of what we do is outside. I help them with their paper route. My little grandsons, I help them with their paper route.
Oh.
Every Wednesday.
They it's still so much have fun. Those, paper routes?
Paper route, yeah.
That's so fun.
My daughter and her three kids, and my other daughter and her son. So there are four little boys and me and three moms. So three moms, two daughters and me, and four little boys. And today the two littlest ones were on bikes and the two older ones were delivering papers. And I pulled the wagon and we're laughing and talking and discussing God and how great he is. And it was a beautiful day. And so I enjoy those times, but I really, really enjoy this slowed down like a Shabbat, you know, Sabbath mm-hmm. day, taking a day of rest. The Bible says to take a day of rest, and we've forgotten that.
Yes.
Most of us don't do that.
Mm-mm.
And so I feel like God is saying, okay, you know what? You don't take your Shabbat. I'm going to give you a forced Shabbat. Start enjoying it. Sit down and read a book. Sit down and do the things you need to do to get close to me, or go and clean that closet, which is still on my list, by the way. Or create something.
Yeah.
Make something. The creativity around the world right now is phenomenal. And I go on YouTube and I watch these amazing musicians doing fabulous stuff.
Yeah.
Or the things that families are doing together. It's just remarkable what people are choosing to do during this time. So rather than grumble and complain, find something exciting to do that can only be done now, because this time is going to be gone before we're ready for it, I think.
Yeah, we're going to be like kind of missing the downtime. Not all the like restrictions, but like the downtime of being able to just relax. And I remember when it first started, I had such a hard time just being like, oh, there's nothing for me to do. Oh, what do I do with myself? It was really difficult.
Yeah. And it was hard to get motivated. Mm-hmm. I bet I spent nearly 2 weeks in my pajamas. I saw a post that said I'm changing from my daytime pajamas to my nighttime pajamas. Yeah, that's me. And I couldn't get myself to write. I couldn't get myself to clean a closet. I was glued to the TV to watch the news. Like, I just was so unmotivated. I still walked every day because that's what I do. I like to walk. But yeah, it took me several weeks. Like you, it took me several weeks to kind of get into the swing of, yeah, I got my little routines and I get up and I do yoga. I do yoga with Adrienne, who's a young woman down in Texas who has a video on YouTube. And I get up and I do my yoga with Adrienne in my pajamas, and then I have my quiet time with the Lord, and then I get my breakfast, and I have my little routines, and I like it.
Yeah.
That's what I love most.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Marnie. This has been wonderful.
You are so welcome. It's been really fun.
Yeah, I'm really glad we did this.
Me too. So, well, let's stay in touch.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll let you know when I'm launching my first success team.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Brave Podcast. This was our last episode with Marnie, and I so appreciate having her on these past 3 weeks. What stood out to me from this episode is knowing how much we're loved and how important that is in our lives. Whether you believe in God or not, the knowing that you're loved can change everything, can change your outlook on your life, can change your purpose, can change your perspective. So know that you are loved. You are loved by a Heavenly Father. You are loved by family and friends. And that is the most important thing to have in your life, is knowing that you are loved. All right. If you want to find Marnie, I will put all her info in the show notes for you to locate her and stay in touch with her and check out her Flourish Cafe possibly. All right. So my three asks. My first one, of course, is to download. It helps you out to have the episode so you know when a new episode airs, so you don't have to go searching for it. My second one, if you liked what you heard today and you think it would benefit another person, go ahead and share it with a friend. And finally, ratings. Ratings help me know what you're loving about the episode and what I could work on to improve. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Next week, we're going to talk about grief. And my guest is Kate Montagun, and I think I pronounced that correctly, and her book, Letters to Grief. She talks about the loss of her mom and just how to deal with grief in general. So you'll definitely want to tune into this if you've ever dealt with the loss of a loved one. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in.